I would invite you to take a Bible and to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Energy. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, reading verses 6 through 13. Yet among the mature we do speak wisdom, though it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to perish. But we speak God's wisdom, secret and hidden, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the human heart conceived, what God has prepared for those who love Him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For what human being knows what is truly human except the human spirit that is within? So also no one comprehends what is truly God's except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God, so that we may understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. And we speak of these things in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual things to those who are spiritual. Now, you might have wondered about the title today, TBA, because usually that makes people think that somebody isn't prepared and hasn't been prepared, and they're just kind of winging things as they go along. Sometimes not knowing what in the world will happen. And I don't have props this Sunday. I know I've had props the last two Sundays. And next week, you will want to be here because we will have props. But one might think, to be announced, you don't have any idea of what's going to happen. Even the speaker. But that's not the case about the exercise this morning. Rather, the statement in verse 9 is the focus of our time and efforts today, and it says something about to be announced. No eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor human heart conceived what God has for those who love Him. To be announced. To be told at some point in time, off in the future. Now, most of the time, when do we hear that verse read or paraphrased at church? At what events? Generally, funerals. That's right. Thank you. Generally, funerals. Although sometimes it will be spouted out over and over again with great fervor at revivals, trying to get people to walk the aisle or the sawdust trail. But for Paul, this was not just about a future in heaven, pie in the sky by and by. Rather, these words are an indication of what his faith in Christ meant, and that to which he was called in that faith in Christ. So yes, there are those indications that there is something meant about the future, a future for Christians in God's presence in heaven. But that's not the only meaning, and quite frankly, I don't think, and that and a dollar will get you a drink in a drink machine, but I don't think that's really what Paul means here. And I think this verse is one of those that has often been misunderstood and misinterpreted for much of Christian history. What Paul, I think, is saying is that for those who love God, You never know what's going to happen next. You never know what opportunity is going to be there. You need to live with anticipation and expectation. Not just sit back humdrum and let the world go on by. But if we are truly children of God, we should live with expectation. We should live with anticipation that something out there is going to happen and we're going to have opportunities. Not just opportunities to shake Peter's hand as we go in the front gates or slip in the back door. And some people probably, I may be one of those, about the only way I'll get in is if they'll leave the back door unlocked and I can slip in. But it's more than that. It's about living now and anticipating the unexpected now. It's an indication of God's greatness, not just in heaven, but God's greatness here, where we live. And that at any moment, Paul expected to experience something unexpected. And something that oftentimes was challenging. Not just the unexpected joys, but the unexpected challenges as well. And those things oftentimes become the greatest moments by the time they're over, for those who truly follow God. Paul, I think, is saying here that not only was he, but any child of Christ needs to be open and receptive to God's Spirit and devoted to Christian fellowship. And then all kinds of good will happen. Now, Paul had looked back at the past and the wisdom of God that was based on past actions of God. And he does refer to that here. The wisdom of the ages, which is beyond what the rulers of the world could understand. And he did look with hope and with confidence to the future. Yet his life was centered on Christ, and Paul didn't live his life totally in the past, nor did he live his life looking totally toward the future presence with God. Paul lived his life with Christ in the present moment as well. And he found that to be challenging and exciting and sometimes very unexpected as to what he would experience. He recognized that the God who created the world in His wisdom and power, who raised Jesus from the dead, was a God of endless possibilities. Endless possibilities. God was not limited just by creation and crucifixion, resurrection, but God is a God of endless capabilities and endless possibilities. Not just for the afterlife. But quite frankly, I think in Paul's mind, more importantly for this life. For Paul understood that it is the unexpected and the anticipated and the opportunities to serve in this life that provide for an opportunity to experience the goodness in the afterlife. It was not about just escaping into heaven, but about ministry in this world. As one writer states, to a receptive and expectant faith, the gates of the future full of unexpected possibilities were widely open and welcomed. Now, a lot of times we don't like the unexpected. We like to know what's going to happen, right? But then again, as I said a few moments ago, some of those unexpected moments are the ones which prove to be the greatest. And I'll digress for a moment. There are at least two folks in our presence today who know something of that joy and excitement of the unexpected, right? I'm sure there are others along with them, but there are at least two folks who know that in a very real way, not in the future, not in the past, but right now, in the present, where life is so precious and so important. Widely open gates. And yet, this also proves to be a double-edged sword for Paul and for you and me. We talk about that unexpected, that unanticipated, that excitement. But it's a double-edged sword as well for any who truly understands the message. Because while one's future is ultimately at the end thought to be filled with unspeakable and indescribable joy, that joy in heaven, one's life on earth both now and in the future will be filled with unexpected challenges and opportunities for ministry on behalf of Christ and for others, and sometimes that scares us. That scares us. And it wasn't always great for Paul either. Think of some of the things that he encountered. Those opportunities were there. Opportunities to see people come to Christ. Opportunities to have somebody knock him down and drag him to the jail and toss him in for speaking about Christ. Opportunities to be beaten because of his belief in Christ and his preaching about Christ. But still, opportunities for growth and excitement and seeing the work of God even in spite of the rulers of the age who didn't understand. And he found that even in his own ministry that sometimes included suffering, he also helped to alleviate suffering. And saw in such persons as the Philippian jailer and so many others the unexpected blessing for those who came to know God and who found God's wisdom and Christ's challenging commission close to their hearts. To be announced, what human heart, eyes, and ears have never felt, heard, and seen. Or seen and heard. Got them out of order there. Paul said, those things are here around you now. As opportunities now. And it don't have to be big events. They could be very small personal encounters that may only last a few moments, but that help to alleviate suffering and bring joy and bring insight of God's life in the world. And though they may be fleeting for a moment, they are part of what God has prepared for those who love Him that lasts for an eternity. It is that Spirit of God, when we allow the Spirit to come within us and to take us to those unexpected, to be announced kinds of moments. That Spirit which searches us and leads us, that brings us into contact with the glories of God, even in this world. It's not a spirit of the world with all of its selfishness, with all of its hatred, with all of its enmity. But it is the very presence of God in the world. So that we might be able to understand both God's gifts of peace and grace and God's expectation of what we are to do when the opportunities are there. Paul begins this passage talking about maturity and mature knowledge. And really talks about the immature knowledge of this age. The immature wisdom of this age and world looks out only for self and focuses on the goal of getting to heaven or getting the most toys. I know you've seen the bumper stickers, and I've mentioned them before, that used to be around, whoever dies with the most toys wins. And a couple of years ago, I saw one that says, whoever dies with the most toys is still dead. That's the immature wisdom of the world. The mature wisdom looks for ways to bring part of heaven and an experience of heaven to this earth. Jesus taught the prayer, and in that prayer that we prayed a while ago, your kingdom come, your will be done, as in heaven, also upon earth. God wishes that the earth would be more like the heavens. And these unexpected to be announced moments are ways that we, if we allow the Spirit to lead us, can help to bring a part of heaven to the earth. And yet, he talks about perfection and maturity, something that sometimes we use as excuses not to do things. Oh, well, I'll never be perfect. I'll never reach full maturity. Why even try? And we know that as humans, we will never achieve that point. But the Spirit does produce new life when we allow it. The Spirit does bring new growth, even in lives that have been lived for many, many years, as long as we follow fully. And we gain genuine insight into the reality of God's presence in the world and of God's work in Christ, and that scary part of what God expects of you and me. Sometimes those TBA moments of what God expects catch us off guard. And they shock us so much that we're afraid to try. And yet, God brings us those moments to share His grace with a world that is in such need of grace. As Immanuel Kant wrote, reason without sense is empty. Sense without reason is blind. We use both reason and sense, or our experience with God, to become mature. And that mature wisdom helps us to keep our eyes and our ears and our hearts open for those to-be-announced moments that God brings into our lives. Those times where we find wondrous things from God, wondrously joyful, wondrously scary, wondrously challenging, but wondrous from God anyway. Those things that God has for those who love Him. We find fuller details of God's ongoing plan for redemption and for salvation, and we find opportunities to be a part of that plan of redemption. Not just our own redemption, but part of what God puts us here to do is in those TBA moments to help redeem the world by sharing that good news and that grace and that Spirit that God gives to us. In fact, the perfection of our human person lies in our approximation in spirit and outlook to God. To a God who is revealed in the mystery of Jesus the Christ, who faced those TBA moments, sometimes even scared, but who faced them with confidence that God's Spirit would see him through, even in his humanity. And that mystery is revealed as we open ourselves to the searching of the Spirit, resulting in action on our part. When we allow God the opportunity to deal with our human soul we experience wisdom, power, and the unpredictability of God. Because if we could predict God in every instance, then God would not be God. Be open. Look. Listen. And you will find what eyes and ears and hearts of unredeemed humanity cannot conceive. And we will be challenged, and we will be thrilled, and we will actually look forward to the to-be-announced moments. Because in them, we experience those things that only those who love God will find. And we share them with others who love God. TBA. When you leave here today, it's still TBA. May we pray? Our gracious God, we do thank You that You are not only our God, but You're the God of the universe that brings those unannounced and for us unplanned moments. Opportunities to know You better, to be known better by You, but just as importantly, to share in the experience of redemption with others. Help us to be open. Help us to listen with both our physical and spiritual ears. To look around and to see more clearly with our eyes. And to know within our hearts when those moments arrive, when they are announced deep within, so that in the wisdom of Your Spirit, we can help bring more of the heavens and Your kingdom to bear in our part of the earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision is an old, time-worn, and well-known hymn. It's also a prayer. Hymn number 389. Spirit of the living God, a prayer that God's Spirit will indeed come upon us, will open our eyes and our ears and our hearts, so that we are not afraid of the TBA moments, but so that we look for those moments and act in those moments. Our altar is open for any who would make a decision, a first-time decision for Christ, and make that public, who would come and unite with our fellowship and work in ministry here, or who would once again commit anew to looking for those moments and serving in those moments with God's Spirit. So we sing all three verses. Number 389, Spirit of the Living God.